Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Green Mountain Dental Group. We've had several DNVR listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years and make them their permanent family dentist. Those listeners have personally reached out and let us know how great their experience was and have thanked us for leading them to such a wonderful practice. There's honestly nothing more rewarding than hearing that from our listeners, so please tell us about your experience if you made the switch. If you don't know, Green Mountain Dental Group is in Lakewood, and they're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, as well as extreme Colorado sports fans just like us. So head on over to Green Mountain Dental Group today and schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam to get yourself a free Sonicare toothbrush.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account and get amazing odds boost. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli, who may or may not be on the wrong mic. I can never tell these days. But
the world never knows, man.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Yeah, definitely on the correct mic now. All right. In any case, we're back from the weekend. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Today's show is going to be a little bit of a look ahead, I suppose, because we spent all of last week kind of looking at the Avs roster depth. Well, the week before that, I suppose. Last week we had a bunch of fun, but this week we're looking ahead a little bit and seeing some of the things the Avs are going to be facing through the next year, and more specifically at the end of the year. When you look at the Avs lineup, really they have two major free agents coming. They have a handful of other guys at the bottom of their lineup that are UFAs as well. But for guys that play in their top six that have significant impacts on their lineup every night, they have Andre Burakovsky and Nazem Kadri as UFAs.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, like there are some other guys. You know, Val Nichushkin's going to go into a free agency and probably get way too much money.
Yep.
We don't know what's going to happen. The entire goaltending position is set to be going into UFA.
Yep.
Ryan Murray is going to have a chance to to go back into UFA. So that it's not that these are the only guys, just that I think these are the key guys. These are guys with a whole lot on the line this year.
Right. They're playing for potentially big boy contracts. The type of stuff that, let's face it, if they play well enough, the Avs probably can't afford them. That's just the reality of the situation. But with that being said, right off the bat, AJ, who's more important this year, Berkey or Kadri?
More important?
Yep.
I guess Kadri by default, by just position center.
Yeah. Okay.
But really, they need them both. If they get one and not the other, they're in the same place.
Sure. A hole in their top six, regardless.
Yeah. Well, especially because it's an unsettled top six going into the season.
Yep.
So if one of those guys has a down year, they're gonna really struggle.
No argument.
So they need them both.
Was a little curious potentially how replaceable Newhook could come into the center conversation there, but I suppose he could play wing as well. Either way, yeah. Turns out top six players are in fact important.
Hard to find.
Yeah. We talked about a lot last week. The Avs very likely, you know, barring unforeseen things, aren't going to be as flexible when it comes to effective top six players.
Yeah.
No doubt we'll see players rotate through, but
it's a good way to put it. Because I think they're gonna have more options, but yeah, that's because their options aren't as good.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you instead of last year where they had Saad and Donskoy and, you know, as like a in the wings of JT Compher. This year, they've got Compher like first in line,
right?
With somewhere in there with Newhook, where you're just like,
After that, you start having conversations about Nichushkin or a Darren Helm or something crazy. So, I think AJ's face says it all on that one. Dude, but if
Darren Helm gets into their top six,
you know he's gonna.
You know, I mean, it wouldn't
at least one game up there.
Yeah, I'll say like it won't surprise me when like something happens.
Yeah,
and Darren Helm like spends a game up there, or Darren Helm pops out onto a power play, and Twitter loses its collective mind and is, you gotta fire the head coach. And alrighty,
yeah, on the next when that happens, I suppose. But
yeah. And then we get to talk about it.
But yeah, either way, I suppose you could throw Nichushkin and Kemper into the conversation of players that the Avs are most likely to lose at the end of the year as well.
Well, I don't even want to most likely to lose. We don't have any idea. I think that the reason why I kind of mentally write off Nichushkin is because I think somebody is going to overpay him.
He's the exact type of player that gets a JT Compher, Jonas Donskoy type contract, right?
And he's the exact kind of – do you remember Benoit Pouliot?
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen, is that he is going to roll into free agency and a team like an Edmonton is going to throw 5 years and $4 million per year at him. And Colorado should be like,
want no part of that. No. Yeah,
like I am. Like we love what Nuke brings. He did. It's all good and well. We that is way too limited of a dude to be going that route. No.
Yep. Yeah, it's.
And that's where I think. That's why I think like Nichushkin. If I have to look at any of these guys and say, which one is most likely to walk, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get money. Somebody's going to throw real money at him in the offseason.
Sure. Sure.
And Colorado just shouldn't do it. They can, because they're going to have right around $28 million in cap space, which sounds like a lot, but we just went through this. When you start to 6 million here and 5 million here and 6.5 million there, all of a sudden, it's all gone.
Yep. When you're paying north of 4 million to non-top six players,
yeah,
it's a tough sell, man.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell for sure. And
yep.
And this is a conversation about Burkowski and Kadri as well. Both of them making significantly over $4 million already. So yeah, there are significant expectations there.
Berkey at 4.9. He's coming off the best 2 years of his career, in which he had 45 and 44 points. He went 20 and 25 and 19 and 25 in 58 and 53 games played, respectively.
Yep.
So at 20, and I think he's 26 right now. When's his birthday? Oh, it's in February. Okay. So he's 26. He will have just turned 27 in his offseason. And that's a guy that you pay.
In the prime of his career.
I know that you're always like, oh, give him $6 million and shut up, AJ. But yep, for me, it's Burkowski. It's I want to know about the price before anything else. I want to know price. I don't mind term. I'm not worried about term. I think that that shot is going to age like a fine wine. It's going to be something that goes deep into his 30s.
Oh, yeah.
He could have a very solid Milan Hayduchian kind of aging curve where later in his 30s, he's no longer a 20-goal guy, but he's still giving you some goals here and there.
Ends up as a little bit of a power play turret later in his career, things like that.
Yeah, but for right now, for the prime of his career, I mean, I'm not afraid of a six-year deal, seven-year deal. Seven-year deals almost always scare me unless they're for star players, but I'm not afraid of that kind of deal with Burkowski. It's more of a I want to see where it goes money-wise. But that's a dude that at the heart of his career, it's really easy to say as a 20 goal scorer who has been, well, he's had two very different playoffs. So that's probably going to keep that value down immediately. Well,
that to me is, even if I'd love 6 years, even looking at four or five, you know, if that number comes in at six or 6.5, I personally would be disappointed if the Avs didn't find a way to get that done with Berkey.
Yeah.
If it's 7, 7.5, then you're starting to talk about ridiculously expensive numbers. But
I mean, just look at this offseason, and I have a really, I would say I have a hard time with 6.5. But I think 6 would probably be fine.
I'd do 6 for sure. I'd do 6.5 if it gets it done today. Obviously, you know, if he puts up a 20-point season or something next year, it's a completely different conversation. But
yeah, so I guess that's the other part of this is how aggressively should Colorado be looking at trying to do this now?
Yeah, just to get a deal done before he makes himself even more expensive potentially, or cheaper as well. That depends. Because there certainly is a conversation there of especially a player, this is not for Kadri, but for Burkowski specifically, we talk about it with everyone. He's going to be 27. This is his first time being a proper unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Players like that get a chance to get really paid one time.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible for the Avs to just take free agency out of the equation for him and get a deal done early?
Yeah. Berkey's also in the position where he's done okay for himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he's made about 16 mil up to this point in his career with another 4.9 headed his way. But I think with Berkey, how it finished, you probably have to wait.
Sure. Not consistent enough in the playoffs.
because the middle ground of what is what we kind of expect for him in the postseason.
Yep.
Because 2 years ago he had 17 points in 15 games, including 7 goals, and then he had 1 goal in 10 games in this last postseason, and it's like, oh, okay, somewhere in between here is kind of where we're expecting him, right. where he should be. Like, that's where expectations have him, is like the average of those two. Yep. But in the third year, assuming that they do make the playoffs and all that, which should be a given this year, where does he go? What does he do? How well does he play? And I think that should play a big role in where the next contract goes. I don't agree with our chat that says if he sucks again this playoffs, I let him walk. I don't think that you can afford to just
let bonafide top 6 players walk. It's a hard sell. Yeah.
It's really tough to just let guys like that leave. Because then, okay, well, you came into the offseason, you already needed to replace Brandon Saad, essentially.
Right.
Do
you want to go through the same thing again next offseason?
Right, and then possibly needing to replace Burakovsky or Kadri, and then Burakovsky, and it's just like...
And we'll get into Kadri more in a bit. Colin brings up an interesting point. If Landy does $7 million, how does Burra ask for 6.5? You have to remember, as AJ has said on the show, supposedly if Landy hit free agency, there were teams with $8 million on the table for Landy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the eighth year is what closed the money gap on for Landeskog. Yeah.
So, you know, without getting too much into speculation on term and money, there's going to be a balance there. At 6, I do it in a heartbeat. If it's less than 6, yeah, don't even think about it. Sign it on the dotted line at that point for me.
Yeah.
But
sure.
There are other options always as well. You have to look at everything for sure. If there's someone the Avs really like that they're targeting in free agency or potentially a trade down the line, maybe that makes Burra more expendable to them. So that's just kind of a reality. Either way, when the Avs do get around to signing their top 6 free agents, make sure you got yourself a Breckenridge Hard Company Seltzer to have a little drink. Pour one out if they leave, you know, one way or another. It'll take care of you. AJ, I know you're not a huge alcohol guy, but as the man who's carried $100 of seltzers in his car up to Canada, which one do you recommend?
Of the seltzers, there's actually several of them that I like.
Yeah.
I was one of the ones who liked Honeydew, so.
All right, AJ's a weirdo, confirmed.
Yeah. I did like the what was the one that Harrison kept stealing and I couldn't get to? The peach.
Yeah,
the peach. I actually did really like the peach.
All right. So Harrison was stealing it for good reason then.
Yeah, he was super into him that night and I was just like, "Bro, come on.
Share the wealth a little bit." Either way, you can find it if you're in the States at a local liquor store near you. Keep an eye out for their beer as well. Use the Breck Beer Locator online. Of course, you can always find the beer on tap down at the DNBR bar. A great place to go to watch football as well, as DraftKings Sportsbook right now is doing great deals with the NFL being back. Yes, it's just preseason right now, but let me tell you, I have heard a lot about Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater for it being just preseason.
I tell you what, I'm so excited for the Broncos to have a legit starting quarterback just so these people have something else to talk about.
Yep.
Because the Broncos quarterback has dominated Denver's sports talk radio for like 5 years.
Yep. It's been pretty nonstop. And right now, if you want $200 essentially for free, all you have to do is bet $1 on any week one NFL game. Don't even have to win. Don't even have to wait. The second you put $1 on any week one NFL game, As long as you use code DNVR on a new account, you get $200 in free bets immediately. Right off the bat, they just give you $200 with a new account. Look, let me tell you, I've had an account, went and hit up the significant other, was like, we got to make you account. Use code DNBR. I'll put some bets on it just to get $200 of free bets into an account. Do what you got to do. Hit somebody up. Get a new account created. Get the $200 just to mess around with on free bets. You can bet on anything with that $200. Doesn't have to be football either. Whatever sport suits your fancy, go on in on it and win yourself some money, because it's $200 just to do whatever you want with. If you lose it, it's not like you actually lost anything. It's free money. So win-win, I suppose. You have fun either way. And they now have same game parlays as well. So if you like a couple of random, maybe you like the over and one team to win, you can put it in a parlay. Maybe you like a quarterback throwing for over however many yards they got. Feeling good about a game, you're feeling good about some vibes, you can make a big amount of money with their parlays. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR to receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any week one game. Again, be sure to use the DNVR code so you get the free $200. It's for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. So we've talked a little bit about Berkey. The Kadri situation is the same in that he's at the end of his deal, but quite a bit different when you look at it contractually. There is certainly an argument that Kadri was on one of the better team-friendly deals in the league for a two center.
Easily.
And there's a much bigger conversation in certainly the Avs fan base, at the very least, of what actually is Kadri's value. Now, we'll probably save some of this stuff on our deeper dive on Kadri for tomorrow. But on the whole with Kadri, right now today, the Avs don't have anyone to effectively replace him at 2C yet. Mm-hmm. So how much of this is a let's wait and see what the Avs have in New Hook?
It plays a role. The problem with that is that as of this particular moment, we're not going to get a look at Alex New Hook as a center in the NHL this year,
barring injuries and other things.
Right. Yeah. As of this moment, assuming health going into training camp, Alex New Hook's not likely to play very much center. And if he is, it's in a fourth line role. And that's where you're, you know, even if he plays all year on the fourth line at 4C, you how comfortable are you letting Kadri just leave for free and being like, okay, well, New Hook has the job now? You know, like there would have to be, it would be a big swing to try and just project that New Hook is like ready to go.
Yeah. It not only is it very hard to project New Hook there, I think part of the reality is, and look, I think both sides of this argument swing the pendulum too far in either direction, but Kadri certainly brings something that most of the Avs forwards don't. Certainly New Hook doesn't. In some physicality and some a little bit of fire to his game, I guess you could put it that way.
He plays with an edge.
Yeah, sure.
There's a sandpaper element to Kadri. The problem is obviously when he goes over the line and he goes headhunting.
Seven game suspension in the playoffs anymore. But
yeah, you have a huge problem because they threw the book at him last year and only him. And now he's got that reputation as that guy. Like, he had, is he gonna do something stupid? Never really came close to it his first year in Colorado. We just didn't see it. And then last year he was fine up until he decided to smoke Justin Falk for no reason. And it was selfish and stupid, and he had to sit and watch his team
get bounced,
like badly struggle to replace him in their next series. There's a risk. I mean, you have to every shift Nazem Kadri could do something stupid that ends up with him with a long-term suspension.
If he catches another dude in the head, he's getting 20 games. Like, let's be real.
Right. And if he does it in the postseason, you once again are going to watch your ship sink because you don't have him.
He's gone, yeah.
You don't have that guy. We didn't really get into it too much because it's impossible to know what kind of difference he would have made in the Vegas series. But Tyson Jost wasn't it.
Yeah, we know Tyson Jost was not an effective two seed.
Yeah, sure. Tyson Jost and JT Compher could not replace Nazem Kadri in that role. He just couldn't do it. And right now they don't have anybody that they have any confidence in to do that. And that's where this conversation starts, is can you trust him to make responsible decisions that won't get him, you know, thrown out of essentially the blackball during the season?
Right. Won't turn him into dead cap almost, but
it's because that's my biggest concern. It has nothing to do with his play on the ice, which I think is fine.
Yep.
The last year he was a case of extremes, but you know, it was he went 20 games without a goal. Well, he shot 6.5% last year. All right. Like for a guy who has in his career is 11.2%, he shot almost half of that.
Yeah.
That's on 170 shots on
norm for sure. Going to return to the norm.
He had 170 shots on goal in 56 games. If he just produces 170 shots on goal in 82 games, he will be a 20-goal scorer this year. That will come back up.
Yep.
He's not going to shoot 6.5% again. It's just he's been too good of a shooter in his career. This is a thing that happens to guys sometimes randomly. It's happened to him. And when it happened to him, he bounced back with back-to-back 30-goal seasons. So it's the big thing is if he mostly plays the same way that he did last year, he'll be fine. Now, there were some issues, despite what the numbers will all say and all of that. You know, his underlings were just okay. They weren't great. They weren't awful. They were all right. But there were some problems. You know, there were some try-hard issues. There were some...
Certainly, especially in the middle of his slump, you could see the body language of him just completely fall apart. Yeah,
he was super frustrated, and I don't think he worked his way through those. You know, for a guy that's been in the league for 10 years, he didn't work his way through those struggles in a really like meaningfully positive way. He was a guy that kind of just gave in to his worst basic instincts the more frustrated he got.
Yep.
And I would say that's a little disappointing just given that he has literally lived through that before.
Yeah.
You know, like in 2015.
Lived through it. Yeah.
In 2015-16, also shot 6.5%, but on 260 shots in 76 games. It was just a strange Nazem Kadri experience.
Yep.
So I think statistically he's due for a pretty real bounce back. I'm not too concerned about Nazem Kadri underperforming this year. It's been a little bit of slippage, as you would expect as a guy gets into his 30s. Yeah, he's not going to be,
but it's not a, he's not cratering or anything.
Exactly. He's not falling apart. He hasn't hit an obvious wall yet. maybe this year he does. Like, maybe that's how it goes, is that he slipped just a little bit, then bam, he slams into the wall, and Nazem Kadri's done as an NHL player. If that happens, Colorado's in trouble. They're not screwed.
It also makes their decision easy about extending him potentially as well.
And that's the other thing. Like with Burakovsky, I don't think that there's any real rush to do this right now. I would say with Burakovsky, there are significantly better reasons to do it right now. With Kadri, there's almost none. You don't want to give him a deal and then watch him go out and in game seven run a dude and he misses 35 games to suspension. And, you know, then any questionable hit the rest of that guy's career is in, he's in deep trouble. Like, deep trouble.
Yep. Well, and to Chat's point here, saying that there could be an issue between the years, that Nas has always had issues with the red mist a little bit. That was kind of a known issue going into it with him.
Yeah.
So that's not any of a big surprise. I saw someone earlier in chat also mention Pierre-Édouard Belmar's gone. Right now, Nazem Kadri is the face-off guy in Colorado.
Yeah.
So
they're definitely, that's an area I would say has disappointingly just never really improved for Nathan MacKinnon.
Yep.
He had a big jump last year all the way up to 48.5. Yeah.
To where he's actively hurting the team in the faceoff dot at least. Yeah.
Right. It's just not good enough. Jost in his first, like in his most complete time as a center, got better as the year went on. He was deep into the 30s early in the year, and he got it all the way up to 46.8. Great. He bounced back. It got better for him. That needs to get better. Both of those guys have to continue to get better. 50% is not the goal.
Right.
Okay. If you're 50% and faceoffs, you're still not very good at them. You want to be more like 52.
Yep.
And if you're really, really, really good, you're in like the 56 to 60 range.
If you're a monster. Yeah.
So we saw Kadri slipped there last year as well.
He did
drop down to more like 52 from the previous couple of years where he'd been 55 and 56. But he also gets kicked out of a ton of faceoffs.
Yeah, like, they kicked him out a lot.
Like there'll be times where he gets ready to take a faceoff and the linesman just like looks at him and you're like, it's coming.
Yeah, he does nothing wrong and the dude just gets yeeted out of the circle.
Interesting. And when we get back into the locker rooms, if that happens,
definitely a topic on your mind.
I would definitely be curious to ask him, what's up with you and linesmen?
They just don't like you or what?
Yeah. Like, do you shit talk their moms or like, what's up, man? Because they just throw you out of face-off circles for sport. Regardless of all that though, they need a smoother performance out of Kadri this year.
Some consistency for sure.
The extremes last year were tough, man, because it was just too much. Like, he had the slow start.
Yep.
Where it wasn't was okay.
It was like nine games, and then that second line just absolutely went bonkers for like five games.
Yeah, where it was like 12 points in five games or whatever. Yeah. And like all those guys, all of a sudden, all their numbers look fine.
Yep.
And you're like, all right, well, okay, that was a slow start, and then he continued like it was solid through February,
out, right? Yeah,
and he was awesome through March, and then after that, it just all fell apart.
Yep. There was no middle ground there. It was either hot as hell or ice cold.
Yeah.
So.
It's tough. I mean, he went the entire month of April without scoring a goal.
Yep. We'll talk about this a little bit more. First of all, you don't want to treat meat like the way Nazem Kadri treats Justin Falk's head, all right? Don't just
blasted into oblivion. All right, don't do that. That's bad. What you want to do is go get yourself some Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu. And when you pick that up, you don't have to do anything to that meat. Just cook it a little bit, and it'll be absolutely delicious. In fact, if you don't want to cook it at all, just come to the DNVR bar and get the Wagyu beef burger, because they'll cook it for you, make it delicious. Yeah, I had you going, chat. I know I had you going, all right? But we're talking about Hassle Cattle Company right now. The code DNVR10 gets you 10% off. If you spend over $200, you can get yourself a free shipping. Plus, Hassle is giving away a $200 gift card and cooler to one lucky winner. You see how that works. You can win a $200 gift card, get yourself a bunch of meat for free shipping. All you have to head to is the DNVR Sports Twitter page and click the link to our pinned tweet. It's free. You can win money and a fantastic cooler, and you get notified about all of their best deals. So why not? It's great stuff. HassleCattleCompany.com, H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com. Go get the meat you've been looking for. And then hit up Strava Craft Coffee as well. You can get 25% off with them on your first order when you use code DNVR25 online. It's a CBD-infused coffee that's great. It helps with joint pain, other aches and pains, migraines, IBS, all sorts of awesome stuff. If you're struggling a little bit with that, Strava Craft can definitely help you out there. You can get the cold brew, if cold brew is your style, down at the DNVR bar. That's got you covered for any of your CBD needs. If you're looking for your proper cannabis needs, that's when you head on over to Solace Meds, just a couple blocks away from the bar. They also have locations in Fort Collins and Wheat Ridge as well. So check them out. They got you covered. They have numbers of different deals in store, ranging from 15 to 25% off, including a DNBR favorite. They're Dixie Elixirs. You can get 2 for $30. Everyone seems to love those, thanks to D-Line. Blame him. He rolls around with his box of Hassle Cattle Company meat and a Dixie Elixir and just hooks everybody up sometimes. So if you're going online with D-Line, you need your Dixie, basically. You can head to any location to get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 as well with Solace Meds. You can also order online for pickup at solacemeds.com. So check them out today. More great stuff. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Kadri will be 31 at the start of this season. So this is not quite the same situation that Burakovsky is in. Burakovsky will be 27 when he's a free agent, right in the prime of his career. Kadri probably a little bit past that point. That isn't to say he won't get paid. That isn't to say there isn't a team out there that won't be willing to pay him a lot if things go well this year. But 31 is something to consider, right? You start talking about how you were okay with a 6-year deal on Berkey. 6-year deal is not going to fly with Kadri.
No.
Just not reality.
No.
And, you know, we're looking into the crystal ball a little bit here, so things are going to depend on how he plays this year a little bit, but honestly, anything more than like a 3-year deal would start to look a little spooky to me.
Yeah, I think what he should be doing is looking at kind of the contract route that Paul Stastny followed.
Sure.
Because Stastny was in a similar situation where he hit UFA about 31, 32, and he got 3 years and $6.5 million. Yep. Now I don't think Kadri is going to be able to pull that.
Yeah, I struggle to see him. The production that just isn't quite there the same way it was.
Yeah, that would have to, like, the production would have to be there. He would have to go back to a previous level. He'd have to have a 28 goal year or something,
yeah,
like that.
Flirting with 60 points kind of stuff at that point, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's all that unrealistic that he re-signs in Colorado, though. It's just a matter of, you know, he can't pull any nonsense in the postseason. The real problem is replacing him. If he signs for the similar rate that he's on right now, the 4.5, I think that's a pretty fair rate for the player that he is currently. So he spent most of his prime underpaid, and that was part of the appeal when the Avs got him. 4.5 for 3 years for 2C, they've been getting good value at that position. I think that that's probably about the caliber, appropriate for the caliber of player he is right now, but, you know, market doesn't make a lot of sense to me right now. There's a lot of guys who are, a lot of guys who have gotten some contracts that I just don't understand. So,
yeah. On both sides of that ball too, right? There's guys that have been significantly overpaid, and also guys that you don't feel like have been, with a Brandon Saad signing for $4.5 million.
Yeah.
So it can kind of go both ways a little bit there. But with Kadri specifically, well, actually not with Kadri specifically. With Kadri and Burakovsky specifically. One, is it reasonable that the Avs can bring back both of them? Because that's going to be probably two cost increases when they're looking down the barrel of signing guys like MacKinnon, Byram to extensions.
Yeah, so it's still like you want to keep in mind a guy like Byram, but we know that they've got the Mac money already. Just sure, because
with EJ, yeah.
Yeah, with EJ's expiration, you know that they've got that money already. But with Byram, I mean, you aren't looking at giving Byram a massive contract. Like, realistically, because Byram's not going to play a top role for you, he would have to put up some pretty crazy numbers in a depth-ish type role to continue or to justify a large second contract. I think Byram's second contract is a lot more likely to be like a 2-year deal at like $3 million or something. Maybe the Ryan Graves deal, the 3 years at $3 million, where it's kind of a bridge deal where he gets paid a little bit, but isn't like star money because he's not really a star player yet.
Sure. Then the breakout opportunity contract, basically.
Yeah, like there's, you know, I think 3 years is probably too long for a bridge for those types of young guys. I think 2 years makes more sense. And the Avs have been very comfortable with 2-year deals. You look at really since the Compher contract, they've been giving out 2-year deals left and right. So I think with Byram, I don't think when you look at the Kadri Burakovsky thing, you're worrying too much about not having the money for a guy like Bowen Byram. I'm not worried about that. And if you have that problem, we just saw through the entire offseason, you can always dump money if you need to.
Dumping money is not difficult in this league, for sure.
It's too easy to do right now. There's always going to be rebuilding teams that are going to be like, give us your bad money for draft picks.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So for like, you just don't worry about the Bowen Byram stuff at all. It's just not. He's got to do something on the ice to justify big money. And I don't know that he's going to have a significant enough role in order to do that. Right now, I think you look at it, they have $28.5 million in cap space for next year. Let's just say that they take up 10.5 of that. Would you do that combined? It doesn't really matter what the specifics are. Let's say they combine for 10.5.
Yes, I would do that.
Me too. Where's your line? Where do you say too much?
I think.
Is it 13?
Yeah, 13 is too much. Okay. I think 11.5 probably would be for the both of them. 11.5, you get Berkey at 6, 6.5 maybe, and Kedri at 5 or 5.5, depending.
Okay.
Like, yeah, 12 so really, would be hard, but I maybe 12.
It sounds like 12 then, because 12 makes you 12. 12 right. is where you're uncomfortable.
You're just uncomfortable enough that both sides are happy.
Yeah. So it sounds like okay, because 12 is where I was too. 12 sure. is too much for me. 12 is where I stop. Sorry. Right. That's
yeah.
12.1 is too much for me.
There you go. $12.0001. And AJ says, yeah. absolutely not.
Right. I tell him to get the hell out. That's so, what we're calling Vince Trocheck, you know, or
yeah.
on the super, super off chance that Sean Couturier makes it to market, or
it's another year and you call up Calgary and ask him if they want to get out of the Calgary zone yet.
Yo, Johnny Gaudreau's a free agent next year.
There you go.
There's not $9.5 million you can throw at somebody.
That'd be a choice.
He's soft enough, the piles of money would just bounce right off of him, and he would just curl up in a little ball, cuddle it.
What Thank a wild. You. I mean, that trying to gauge that dude's aging curve is impossible. You just have no idea how Gaudreau is going to age in this league.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at on paper, next year's UFA class is actually fun. Guys yeah. like Hurdle and Barkov, Philip Forsberg, Johnny Gaudreau, Patrice Bergeron, even at his age, Claude Giroux, Phil Kessel, Max Domi, Andre Palat, Mika Zibanejad. On paper, it's a super fun class.
UFA is always fun and August, man. By yeah. the time it gets to next That's June, right. all those dudes are signed.
Right. you go back and you look at all these different no, Tkachuk is still RFA.
Yeah, they signed him.
You go back and you look at all the this most recent draft or this most recent free agency class, which wasn't supposed to be any good. And got a huge boon from buyouts.
Yep.
And it still wasn't really that good. The open market still was really...
There were no... Dougie Hamilton was the biggest actual free agent, probably. Which,
yep.
look, Dougie's great, but he's not like a superstar or anything.
Well, and like, Dougie is a legit... Dougie's a legit high-end free agent. Like a true high-end free agent. Almost none of those guys that I listed are high-end players anymore.
Right.
But like Tomas Hertl and Mika Zibanejad, like I love watching those guys. And they would be, like Hertl especially, would be great in Colorado. But that's your second-line guy. You know, like you're not talking about a high-end dude.
There. Right. That's
the,
fair.
The perfect fit is Sean Couturier, where he could come in and he could do what he does defensively and be the perfect complement to Nathan MacKinnon.
Yep.
But it wouldn't be it's not realistic. Philly's not letting that cat leave. He's not hitting the market. And then even if he did, there are going to be teams that would be able to outbid Colorado for that guy. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's reality. You look at Kadri and it's just really difficult to try and replace that position. You really have to hope that New Hook lives up to it, that New Hook does it.
Yeah. Two C's are hard to come by.
He's got to do it quickly.
Yeah, realistically, New Hook has to settle into a second line role this year for the Avs to be the best team that they can be. It's just
their best version involves has New Hook competing for the Calder.
Yep.
So
if he's not at least competent in a top six role, boy, the trade deadline could be interesting. Put it that way.
Yeah, we'll see, man. There are so many games to be played between now and then.
Right, again, as I said earlier in the show, we're in the crystal ball here a little bit, but
well, and I think the trade deadline is after the Olympic break as well, so you have all those games to get through too.
That's true, yeah. So that's a long way off,
dude. That's if we even get all that way, and all these games to actually get played. COVID doesn't come back with vengeance.
All right. So our chat has Team Kadri and Team Badgery.
I mean, I think I'm Team Kadri. I just...
For the right price.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think... I don't know. I don't think he's really a dirty player. He's obviously done some really stupid shit in his career.
Yep.
Like, indefensibly stupid shit. I don't really think of him as dirty, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's dirty either. In that sense that he's actively looking to do shitty things to people, I don't think he's dirty.
Same.
But, you know, he's also got to stop cleaning dudes' clocks in the middle of plays, so.
Yeah. He's a complicated dude. Guys like that are really just... They produce complicated feelings. Yep. Where a lot of guys, it's like, oh, this guy's good, or this guy's...
It's hard to be in the middle on a guy like that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough. Yeah, like, nobody's arguing otherwise that he didn't hurt the Avs, that he didn't hurt Toronto with the postseason suspensions. He's absolutely hurt both of those teams.
But as we're going over, barring a wild scenario where Newhook ends up at center and breaks out there, Kadri, you kind of live with that stuff because it's hard to replace him.
It's really hard to replace. Yeah, 2Cs are just... I mean, you remember the Avs before Kadri?
Yeah, 2C was just absolutely the biggest gap in their lineup for years.
Well, and then you look at the Vegas series without him, and you look at they just didn't have an answer for William Karlsson. They just didn't... They didn't have an answer there. They got nothing out of that group.
Yep. So.
Yeah, Brandon Saad scoring a couple of very fortunate goals wasn't quite enough. But there were a lot of things that happened in that Vegas series.
Of course, there's a lot of angles there, but.
It was like that series is like the from Monty Python and the Holy Grail when he's like chopping arms off that one dude and he's like, it's just a flesh wound. And at some point he's like, he's got like no arms and legs. That was kind of the AV series against Vegas where it wasn't really paper cuts. It was just like whole limbs getting whacked off. Where you're just like, oh.
I mean,
this is so frustrating.
I'm trying to think like, was there any free agent this year on the forward side that you would have rather had than Kadri? Maybe Saad, like
that I would have taken instead of Kadri. I would not even Saad.
Yeah.
Because that's positional value right there. Because Saad is not a center. Well,
so I'm just reiterating the point of. You can't even really replace Kadri in free agency when it's a weak class like that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find guys like that.
Yeah. Most of the two centers are guys that you have to... Yeah, Deneau doesn't score, though. Like, all of the Phil Deneau people ignore that he does not score. Like, Phil Deneau is a he is entirely reliant upon his line mates to generate offense.
Nazem Kadri outscored Phil Deneau by 8 points and more than doubled his goals last year, for the record.
Yeah, Phil Deneau's career high in goals in a season is 13.
Yep.
So I don't know that I would rather have had Phil Deneau. RNH would have been interesting. That he didn't hit the market, so they never had a chance. But That would have been an interesting conversation because RNA,
the contract he signed, I'd have loved that. But.
Well, and RNH has always been a much better defensive player than you would think for a guy his size.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if I would rather have him than Kadri. Kadri also brings an element like Nugent Hopkins makes them easier to play against.
Yep.
Kadri,
he's soft.
And that's where Kadri is. Again, this is complicated because you love the physicality. You love the edge. You love the attitude. You love that he's so feisty and competitive and wants to get after it. Krejci is another interesting answer. Definitely interesting. At 36 or 37, it's like maybe for a year.
Yeah.
It's definitely
a short term thing.
it's definitely a Band-Aid. But it's a really good Band-Aid. It's Flex Seal. Slap it right on there and you're good.
That's a lot of damage.
My favorite is to cut the boat in half.
Yeah.
I love
you put a screen door at the bottom of this boat.
Oh, dude, that thing kills me. Anyway.
Are the abs a boat with a screen door in it without Kadri? Is that what we're saying here?
They're definitely worse without him in this version, but this is where you're hopeful for New Hook.
Yep.
Like you're hopeful that New Hook lives up to that potential.
Until it shows up. Yeah.
Yeah. But even if like, what kind of season does New Hook have to have for you to be comfortable replacing Kadri? I saw somebody in here say, well, if New Hook gets 50 points, then you just do that. Yes.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
very easy to do.
It's got to be at least 35, right?
Yeah, and what kind of role would he have to play that would make you comfortable saying, okay, he's ready to, you know, we'll take the chance with him on the second line?
I mean, I, as a non-center, I'd start him there, obviously, but if you're looking at him to replace Kadri at center, I mean, you need him at some point in the year, he has to break out offensively. Like, let's be honest, if you're considering New Hook at 2C, you're not expecting a lot of defense out of him. But when it comes to replacing Kadri, you want a consistency, really. You don't want him to have one hot month.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, of course it is. As a rookie in the league, it's going to be nearly impossible. So, again, we keep coming back to and reiterating Kadri's value in that sense, assuming, you know, he plays a little bit more consistently as well this year. But
yeah. Streakiness is also just a common thing for non-top-line players in the NHL. Just to point that out. I saw there was a comment earlier in chat that came during an ad break, but mentioned that Saad is more consistent. And so I used that ad break just to check it out. And, you know, Brandon Saad had three separate six-game stretches last year, two of which he scored no points at all in those six-game stretches, and the other one where he had one assist.
Yep, you remember he started
so
unbelievably cold.
He had 18 games last year that came in three different six-game stretches where he had 1 point.
Spread them out instead of Kadri doing it 20 straight. But
yeah.
I would not put New Hook in the bumper spot in a million years. You want New Hook playing high in the zone off the wall.
Anybody that's watched where he has succeeded in college and in the AHL, he needs to – what he gets is on the second power play unit. He's in McKinnon's spot where he's like that second guy that's high in the zone. And then he kind of gets the puck, he skates in, and then he shoots it and beats a goaltender.
Yep.
He scored how many goals like that in college and in the AHL? It was like all of his AHL goals.
I dropped his highlights on Saturday, I think, or Friday. Anyway, check out our DNBO Sports 2 YouTube channel. All of New Hook's highlights on there, and you'll watch him score that goal like 12 times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's his shot. You don't want to put him on the bumper. You want to put him right in there.
Yep. So, yeah. And it's one of those things that's going to be balanced with Newhook, right? Like, opportunity needs to be given to a certain extent, but it also needs to be earned to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll get some. If he plays well, he'll get more. And
right. Well, and we saw he survived. I was actually going through the Vegas series earlier today for a piece that I'm writing about Tyson Jost and like his importance to the team next year, because we're starting to do our previews and stuff. So a lot more written content is coming out.
September creeps up on you, man.
As I was going through those series numbers, I was like, you know, Alex Newhook, like, wasn't great. He wasn't exceptional or anything. It's just he did okay. Like, he was all right. And you consider that he was a fresh rookie, you know, playing in the postseason against a team like Vegas. It's crazy, man.
Yep.
He did okay for himself. It was acceptable.
I think that's the big takeaway for me is, look, what we saw out of Newhook last year makes me confident that he is an NHL player now.
Easily.
But how high does that go this year? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, his play in the postseason last year is absolutely why I have not really considered
him not being in the lineup,
essentially. Yeah, I always have gone out of to make sure that when we have these conversations about the lineups that Newhook is part of it. Because I just don't think that this is going to be... I think it's going to be like Byram last year. You know, Byram showed up and it was like, we got to get him in the lineup. You know, they gave him a little bit of time off because he'd been at WJC's, and so they gave him like a week to chill and practice and get up to speed. And then they were like, go, play, go, 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 go.
Yep.
And I think that's where it's going to be with Newhook this year. They want him in there. They want to find a spot for him. We don't know what it looks like, but I imagine they have a specific role in mind for him now. Yep. So Newhook's not going to be any good at faceoffs. No rookie ever
has never been. Yeah.
Like go look at all of the top faceoff guys in the NHL, and you'll see early in their careers at some point struggled.
It's just Sidney Crosby was 45% his first year. So,
well, I mean, you consider even like, look at a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who's an awesome faceoff guy. Yep. 47% his rookie year.
Yep. Rookies are just not good at faceoffs. Full stop.
You need to get crushed in your rookie season. And the longer you put it off, the worse it gets. Like, you have to go through that. That's why the whole Tyson Jost thing is frustrating, because it's like, had Tyson Jost gotten put at center 2 years ago, and they just lived or died with however it went, right?
He'd have been better faster. Yeah.
Exactly. Because the only way that you get better at faceoffs is by doing them. There isn't like a – basically nobody shows up and is just good at them. And I'm sure somebody will be able, now that I've said this, somebody will find somebody who in his rookie year was great at him. Sean Couturier had 5 years under 50%. Wow. That kind of shocks me. But it's like the faceoffs are just like one of those things. Rookies are bad at them. They're bad at them. They get crushed. And you just kind of have to figure it out as you go along.
Yeah, it's...
But if you put that work in, you can get good at them. Like, we joke about MacKinnon being awful at them, but you look at a guy like Matt Duchene, 44% in his rookie year, and then he was just kind of like a 50-ish percent guy. He was acceptable at them. And then he, right at the end of his Avs tenure, took a big leap. He's very good at it now. So that's if you put the work in and you care about doing it, you can be good at them.
No doubt about it. And just to kind of wrap up the point, there are a million other things rookies are working on. Faceoffs is pretty low on the list usually.
Yeah. Definitely.
As far as adjusting to the NHL is concerned. So
it's interesting Horvat was good at it his rookie year, because he hasn't gotten significantly better since. He had one outstanding year. Otherwise, he's just been solid at them.
All right.
That's actually a weird like face-off trend, that a guy is good at him in his rookie year, as a teenager, no less. and then just doesn't get better.
I also now have a trivia question for tomorrow night. Which Avs rookie has the highest face-off percentage?
Unfortunately, the data doesn't go very far back.
It doesn't.
I can't even look at Patrice Bergeron's rookie season.
Yeah. It doesn't go that far back, but that's okay. That'll make the question unanswerable. In any case.
That'll make the... Come to trivia night where Rudo actively looks to make the questions unanswerable.
All right. I think we are about done. Any final thoughts here on Berkey and Kadri, AJ? I know we got a little sidetracked with Newhook there, but...
I don't think so, man. Berkey's dope. I think they really, if they gave us a thing tomorrow that said he signed a new 5-year deal, I think you and I would be. You're the other way. We'd be
the mirrored.
How's my hand? There it is. I could just use this hand. Jesus, I don't know why I try to go across my body.
What are you?
Like this.
Yeah, that.
There we go.
We're old now. I think we're officially old based on that move. So, look,
we would be very excited, is what I'm saying. If we got a thing that said that the Avs had signed Kadri to a new 5-year deal tomorrow, we'd be like,
interesting.
What?
Taking him till he's 36, basically.
Are we sure?
Yeah. Definitely two different scenarios a little bit for sure.
But we're going to talk about Kadri more tomorrow because he is a hot topic for us.
Yeah, we'll dive in depth a little bit more on Kadri's numbers and things like that. So tune into that tomorrow. For today, we are going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, consuming the podcast, however you may. We appreciate it a ton. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. Likes especially. There's over 100 of you in here, and likes do a lot for us to get the algorithm going. So much appreciated if you like the video. Other than that, though, we are done, and we will talk to you beautiful people tomorrow.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.